channel one over and Mr. Weaver on that little hunting story he tells at the expense of Red Carter. This Monday, after supper, the 26th of March, 73. Channel one over, and Mr. Weaver tells the one that he told Rick, and Rick wrote it up, this on Wirt Carter. This is channel one over, Monday after supper, the 26th of March, 73.
Well, I haven't seen the cow, but he said that she was third calf. Mm. And $350 ain't bad for a good Jersey milk cow, is it?
I don't know, Mr. Weaver. You. They're way up high now, all of them.
Some of them go around $500-$600. Well, that big cow goes $700-$750, I believe it is, a milk cow. I don't know. I'm not familiar with it.
Somebody's been over here, Rick. Look at here. Looks like somebody's been around here, doesn't it?
Yeah, looks like he's been straightening up or something.
Somebody's been sweeping around here, Mr. Weaver.
Oh, I'm swept since this morning. I have to sweep about twice, three times a day to keep this. And I'm just doing the best I can.
That kitchen over there where I am. Mm-hmm. You have to sweep that a couple of times a day. I don't do it, but it needs it.
Well, I can sweep mine three times a day and get some sand I told it in. But if I get to it once, I'm doing good. Yeah. Some days I get twice, but I should do a sweep it more.
Oh, as the wind blows it in.
Well, this lay comes all down from the attic up here. This is not dust. And then I told Todd up there, the shoes.
Yeah.
These shoes I've got here, they pick up dirt pretty bad. Worse than I thought they would. I thought they wouldn't pick it up much.
Oh, this much wind, that kind of grounds you if you were hunting, wouldn't it?
Oh, you can't hunt this kind of weather.
You can't hunt at all?
No, dogs get away from you, never know where they are. You can't hear them 50 yards or 100 yards hardly.
That much wind?
Yeah, you don't die. I haven't been since one time in November since I've been hunting.
And old Wirt said he hadn't been much. Well, I tell you what.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Miles hadn't heard that. You ought to tell him that about Wirt.
About Wirt?
Oh, yeah.
He's got that, haven't you?
No, I don't know.
No, he don't know that.
Yeah, I told Jimmy and them one, and he's got it. Supposed to have it over there.
What, you said?
There's two, three of them over here, or you got it. They picked it up for you, I thought.
What was that?
That one you told, don't you remember? I said,
yeah.
Work was complaining.
No.
Because he couldn't get a decent run.
Yeah.
Well, and asked you what was wrong.
Well, I'll tell you, take it this time of year, they have young ones. And it's an instinct, you know. Now, a lot of people may think I'm shooting little line, but I've figured this up since I was a kid and listened to my uncles and everybody what they said. And I found out what they told me was true.
Yeah.
They said when they had young ones that they didn't give off the odor, the scent, and the dogs couldn't run them good. And at this time of year, they can't smell them, and they don't have any hair. Well, Mr. Holder came by here. He's an old fox hunter, and he seen two red fox down in the forest the other day. And he asked me, he said, one of them looked bad and didn't look like had much hair on it. He said, one of them was pretty fluffy one and all. I thought he ought to know that as much as he's fox hunting.
I thought Wirt would know too.
Well, probably they do if they stop and think. If they just stop and think. You see, he said he seen two reds over here in the forest the other day.
Now, I
get this mixed up so it balls you all up trying to get these things at a tail, you see. Telling different things and mixing it up is not.
Yeah,
too good.
I tell you what, I got balled up.
Huh?
Was that what you said about Wirt? When he pulled the wool on your eyes? About you running rabbits?
Oh, yes. What was that?
But I got that balled up now.
About the dogs running rabbits?
Yeah, but your dogs didn't run rabbits, did they?
Yeah, one of them, you know, would always go in. A young dog, a year old, went in, and he just went running rabbits. Now, I'll go ahead, and you want me to tell that story like it is?
Yeah, because I got it all balled up.
You did. Well, here, hunters is just like everybody else likes to tell jokes every once in a while. And the dogs go out of here, and that's what they do in mountain countries and where they can't follow the dogs, you know. They'll tell jokes and push one thing and another, you know, and wait till the dogs come back through running and things like that. But anyway, that's a little different to what this story was. Mr. Keith, you know Frank. Now, that makes it more interesting if you know a person.
Yeah.
Mr. Frank's brother came down from Michigan, and John McCray was a hunter over there.
Yeah.
Now, I'm kind of weak, what makes me get kind of balled up. I've got to keep my myself together. Now, that messes you all up then, trying to get what I was trying to tell.
No.
So Emory came from Michigan down here. He is a hunter. That's Frank's brother. He's over here at Bozeman now, living in that little house down there. John McCray lives right close to him, and he used to hunt a lot, but he don't hunt anymore. Hadn't himself years. In fact, he's not able to. He's like myself. He's not able to hunt. After he, I don't hunt anymore. I'm not able to hunt. They went over to see work about going hunting, you know. Work and Frank had hunted together for years before they knew me, you see.
Oh, had they?
Before I came to Florida.
Oh.
So they went over to see work about going hunting, you know. Work told them, and then they was going to come up and see me, you see. That was back in the 30s. Now, the date is what you want to get in with this.
Yeah.
The date has as much to do with it as anything else. In writing stories to the hunter's horn now, if you get the dates in there and when this happened, they like these old stories about.
Oh, yeah.
They like that better than do these later.
Yeah.
when they got over there for work, told all those boys, says, you bring Mac over here, and that he's used to running fox, but don't tell him. Said he's used to running fox, runs like rabbits, treeing a little bit. And don't tell him. He says they'll be running, his dogs be running in the morning, won't tree one of these fox over here.
Down there in Fairfield?
Yeah. So they came up here and they told me about it and told me to not tell work. Well, I was in between them all. I had to keep my mouth shut, you know. We went over there and work had one 8-year-old dog, one 2-year-old dog, and I think that's all he had. And I believe John owned old Rowdy. I don't know. I traded John a watch for him. He wanted the watch, you know, and he decided to quit hunting one time. And I said, well, you can have your dog back when you get ready, John. We hunted together, you know. So that when they told me that, and I said, well, now don't you all tell him. I won't tell him. Don't you all let him know that I know it. We got over there and turned loose. Well, I'm going to call the names. That's very important in writing up.
Oh, yeah.
I had two young dogs. Rex and Hester was 10 months old. I had two full-blooded walkers out of Tennessee State Champion was the daddy of them. And Baxter from Gaines went up and bought him, and I got a hold two of his puppies. And a fella gave them to me, a friend of mine gave them to him, and I didn't want them. They looked like they were going to die, and I told him, I says, I believe I can raise one of them, but I may can't the other one. But I raised them both. And when we got over there, it turned loose, and work had been letting his young dog run loose, and it was running rabbits, and it jumped a rabbit. Well, that Slim Walker dog of mine had babbled and run anything any other dog would, but the other one wouldn't. His mate wouldn't. The only good one old Steve ever put out.
Who? Slim's mate?
Huh?
Slim's mate? good?
Which one?
Slim wasn't any good, but his mate was good.
Yeah, Slim would run, but he'd babble and bark on dog's tracks, and no hunter likes that. So that he went right in running rabbits, and Rector Hester one barked to Tom and two, the 2 10-month-old puppies, and they come right on back. And I'd turn them all loose. So that Slim kept running, and that's while I caught him, and I loaded him in the car, and I said, well, fellas, he'll stay in the car a while for that. And we went on down the road a piece and listened. We didn't hear no Shorty was a good fox dog belong to work. Now, he was plenty good. So that we was listening. After a while, I heard Grady. That was Slim's mate, the walker. He's 12 months old. He kind of bawled on a pickup. He said, so some of them said, what dog is that? I said, that's Grady, that young walker puppy. I said, he didn't mess with a rabbit. So we waited a little bit. I said, you'll hear another bark in a few minutes. Some dog will bark with him in a few minutes. Just in a little bit, I heard old Rowdy bawl out, oh, oh. That was a half red bone and a half walker that John, I forgot which one owned him at that time. John McCray or I one owned him. And I kept him while John was in the hospital. Took care of his dog for him. And that's the way we hunt, and I hunted with him when I wanted to go and pick him up. Well, I'd carried John and Julie. Now that's a little dog you like to. Now that was a little dog.
That's Julie.
That comes
she
in.
She there too?
John and Julie. And that was John and Julie. See, they're four young ones, Rex and Hester. They're just training. Had John and Julie and Spot. Now I don't remember for sure now which one owned Rex. I mean Rowdy. Me or John Warren, we both hunted together. Mm-hmm. We could, all of us let each other use dogs who wanted them to, you see, when we wanted to. So that they all began to bark. A little bit, the rest of them began to get in with them. Director old Shorty got in there. Works. He's about 7 or 8 years old. He was old, but he's still good. Never seen him mess up but one time alive, and it was that night. And we had all his company down there. All of my dogs
went.
Just
weren't 2 or 3 of you there?
Huh?
There just weren't 2 or 3 of you there?
No, there's 5 or 6 from Fairfield over there that hunted with work over there come out to the hunt.
Oh.
Now, them were Keep and Frank Keep, John McCray, Dizzy Dare.
Oh, Dizzy Dare was there.
Dizzy Dare was there. And so that Emily had his wife with him. She'd go hunting with him, you see. He's from Michigan, you see.
Oh.
And he didn't bring any dogs. He had good dogs up there in Michigan, but he didn't bring them down there. We always had plenty of dogs, you know. We'd always go out hunting like that, get a crowd together. So that they all went out of here, and directly heard old Shorty coming, barking, not exactly right, coming back track. And we couldn't understand old Shorty doing that. What was wrong? So that I'd kept him up here for them and hunted him 2 or 3 months at the time, you know, when John was sick and in the hospital. And so that he came back, and I told him, I said, I never known Shorty to do that before. Well, they says he's after another fox. But he came right on back there and never could do nothing. Get away from that. That's while I had old Slim in the car, and I said, well, I know how to find him. I said, I'll take old Slim out there and turn him loose. Now, he'll bark. Where did they struck at? Now, I says, he strikes that track. Says, he's going to bark. He'll go out of here and barking. I said, he's worth more than me to find my dogs than anything else. So that he went ahead and he just pulled out barking when I went out of here. I says, work now, you know which way they went, don't you? And he says, yes. I says, can we drive in there in a while and get back in that way? And he says, yes, we can. We'd have to go way back around and come back here another way. I said, let's catch old Shorty then. We got Shorty, you know, and we carried him, went on around, got in there, and every one of mine, Julie and John and old Spot and Rex and Hester and Grady, they just poured it on. They had him really going. Well, we all got out there and stopped, and it was pretty cool that night. Some of them kind of built up a little fire, and we was listening. I'd get out of the crowd so I could tell what the dogs was doing. Really, old Shorty was right in there doing his usual way of doing, too, when we took him on over there. So that we went ahead, and 3 hours, I had Jake, too. I had a dog that went quite as fast as my other dogs that had the stumper. I got from Neil Adams.
Was Jake the one that... what did you tell me?
Jake is the one...
On a dead fox?
A dead fox, and quite four do that. John and Julie and Rex and Hester and Jake would. They bark when they caught a fox. So that after a while, about 3 hours, I heard old Jake step back. I could tell the way he did. You know, he'd get back and bark if he caught anything before any rest of them would and bay. He would give 2 or 3 long balls. Say, well, I bark like him. Oh, oh, oh. Now, you write that and put that in the hunter's horn. That'd help if you could do that, but you can't do that. We can't do that. So that when we, I says, work, there he is. And I says, I'm afraid it's a dead one. I says, the wrong dog barked first. I says, one of the other three will bark Creed first, and John or Julie or Rex. So I got 2 of the boys from Fairfield to go and guide me and go in there where they're at. We drove around over as close as we could, and by that time, old Spot, my Spot dog, done left and went and stuck another one. And old Shorty went on, he wouldn't stay at the tree long either. And that's Work's dog. And they're trailing, and all my dogs had done left the fox that they'd killed, but old John. And went and got in the race, and our coach stopped him. We got between him. I was just staying between where they run over yonder, because he's done. We met him coming out, and I got him to go back to where to lead us back to the where that that he caught the fox. You don't see many dogs do that, but I could get him to if the rest of them wasn't running too close to us. So we got over on a go by a patch right close to the little old pond, you know. And John passed me. They went and. About 200 yards of us, the whole pack come around running. John went by me that way, and I couldn't stop him that time. I said, fellas, we don't forget, we want to get that fox. I want to show it the word.
Ford didn't help.
And I said, that fox is not far right in this goldberry patch. That's where old John came from. I said, now I'm going straight where I think it is, and you, one of you will get about 10 feet on each side of me and look good, and I'll shine my light around. And so you can see it. Be sure that you look close. Well, I'll be that fox right in there. Went on up in there, and when I seen what looked like a dog had scratched. And I could see something look a little booky there. And I'd walk right straight to the fox, and I seen the tip of his tail sticking out of it. And John had covered him from up with that little tip of his tail. And me wanting to catch it so bad to help the joke, you know. He wanted to find the fox. Well, we got that. We picked the fox up, and I told these boys about it. And I said, now listen, when we get back up there, I says, they don't know if these dogs, those other dogs went on and jumped another and run another, and they'll take the same fox. Now I says, when we get up there, I'm going to ask Work what kind of fox he's got over here. They'll dodge our dogs, and they can have to get away from a pack of dogs like that and have to trail this fox up. Well, that just suited Work, you know. He said, I told these fellas that to bring you over here, you used to run in fox run like rabbits. He says, now then, they'll be running in the morning at 7 o'clock. Your dog's every one of them. I'll have to stay there until the next day somewhere before to tree that fox. I let him kid me and everybody laughed, you know, and these other fellas. Now, everybody was, but maybe 2 or 3 fellas was work and wasn't with me out there to find it out. I had to tell them, and we didn't even tell them about it, you see. But I had to. And they dropped the fox down before we got up by. We went on up by. Then I began to ask Work these questions. Well, didn't know it. I knew that he had said these things. So everybody was laughing up the sleeve and couldn't laugh out, you know. We don't laugh out or anything like that. We let the jokes go on each other. So that after what kidded me, he says, oh, yes, he'll holler and laugh. He says, I told these boys that you was used to running, fox run like rabbits, and they'd be running tomorrow than this one. So that we waited a little bit, and everybody staying quiet and holding the sides to keep them laughing, you know, that you about are both ways, you see. That's a little I told them, boy. I said, boy, go back out there and get that dead fox and bring it up here and show it to work. I said, he's not used to seeing the dead, and they're kidding him, you know. So that they did that, you know, and everybody got a kick out of it. Emily Keaton, Frank and them, all of them laughed about it, you see. And so that they run 3 hours, and I heard John and Julie and Rick.
I want to know what Wirt said.
Huh?
When you showed him that fox, what Wirt say?
Well, yeah, I was about to forget that. He says, well, I'll say, Mac, you done come over here and kill one of my fox already in 3 hours. That's what he said. And I waited, they'd been running about an hour then. I didn't say nothing. I said, let's listen to the race over here. And I said, they're going hard over there. And I mean, they was. I could tell they're all pushing that one. So in about 3 hours, I heard Rick and John and Julie. That treated me all, I think so much of Julie, you know, she was always one of the main ones. Little old thing didn't look like she was worth a penny. So that,
Dish face.
The little dish face, ugly, and call up 3 inches. She wasn't never no higher than that. And then where the dog in the country could outrun the open woods or in thick either one. And she wouldn't run no 10 or 15 steps over a fox or a cat's track when it turned, she did. She just used that little old dish face, and she could smell better than I believe her dog we had. And so that they kept barking feet. I said, we better get to them. I said, the way they bark, I said, they're going to get that before we get there, I'm afraid, Bert. Bert went with us. We got over there and they had him treed in around an old, where the ground had sunk, went in a tree. It went down a piece and pulled over. It wasn't a well, it was a great big place about the size of a house. That had fallen in, you see. You see those places. So that when we got there, they're barking, and all of them looked like they're trying to go and catch it in there a minute. And I jumped in there and told them, I said, listen, fellas, catch these dogs. And I throw them out there. That fox right there, they're going to catch it. I threw them out there, and they turned old Spot loose. I said, here's that walker dog of mine loose, you know. And he went around and come into another hole there and grabbed that fox. And when they're used to killing bobcats, you know, mine all was, and they went in for killing when they got a hold of anything. Because a bobcat was always, if he just scratched them or got a hold of them, he'd hold till he died. Bobcat will. And so old Spot bit him and broke him down in the back. And I took him loose from him just as quick as I could. And I said, take the fox up there and pitch it out. And I caught Spot again, you see. And by that time, a bunch of them began to have hold of them. They weren't used to dogs, used to killing anything, you see. I mean, doing like that. So that, I says, I believe it's broke down. Just turn it loose and see if it can run. And he couldn't. He just went to dragging his hind part and tried to run. I said, just well, turn your dog loose. He done, that fox done run. He'll never run again. Turn him loose, he didn't run 25 steps. Some of them done caught him again. Mm. Wasn't no use trying to save him after Spot bit him so hard, because he was good. He'd bite those cats. He'd come in and cut up bad sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that we went on, we come on out to work, says, Mac, say, you done come over here and kill two of my good running fox.
Now that's good, Miss Weaver. I never heard that before.
Yeah, I thought you, I told you part of it one time, started to, and we didn't have time to finish it.
Maybe so.
I told Jimmy and them about it until I thought they picked it up then. I thought you had that. Well, now that's a good, and calling a dog's name, you see.
Yeah.
If you can get all a dog's name and writing up a story, that makes it still better.
That sounds like about the best pack of dogs you ever had.
Well, they weren't any better than I've had since then, but there's better trained. We had plenty of game here, and we had we could hunt anywhere around this country. We didn't have all these highways.
Mister, what was that?
That fell out there. Yeah, work hunts with him. And he trains his dogs on catskins.
Who?
That was a fellow Work went with, and his dogs wouldn't run. And he said they'd done pretty good though. He trains them with a catskin. He drags it through the woods. They said they'd trail that, but they wouldn't. That night I went with Work and him. They wouldn't run.
Work's dogs?
Work said run with this other fellow.
Oh, that's the one you tell me about the red bones.
Yeah, that fellow
had red dogs that night you were over there. Well, Work's, last time I was talking with him and heard anything about him, he just had two real 9-year-old dogs. Well, they get 9 years old, done a lot of hard running. Lots of them breaks quick, don't run much after that, and not as good. But a lot of them stay on 12, 13, a few 14 years and still run.
Well, these two red bones are just... They were just
well, they wasn't here. Trained. Maybe he just ordered those dogs and they shipped them to him.
Well, that's mostly instinct, isn't it?
What's that?
It's mostly instinct, isn't it?
Well, it has some to do in it, but it has as much to do in the trainers and who handles the dog. And if they raise them in a kennel and ship them to a man, they ship the dogs and sell them to a man for guaranteed dogs, you know.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they've never been hunted cat in the woods. Lots of those dog jockeys does that.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of them do. They're like horse traders. You remember horse traders, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you're a horse trader.
Well, I was interested in this fella. Now, is that the way you'd train them? Just pull a...
No, I'll tell you about that. You can do that maybe once or twice with puppies, but don't do it. It's not a good idea to do that. I don't use that. Because we tried it one time, my brother, when I was a little boy. And I'd like to, that'll be good to put that in with this too, about since you asked me that question. We carried him over to where we had run fox from my brother's dogs, and he had two puppies. About 11 o'clock one day. We took this here fox hide and wet it, pulled it, and held the puppies and turned them loose, and they run it till they treat it. They run that fox hide now until they treat it. Up with it. And we just drug it and went around, crooked around that way one day, you know, and these puppies run it. So that we got it out. And we got the fox hide and kept it. You know, we're going to do it again. Well, we decided that night that some persimmon trees out over my father's called Turner place and farm in North Alabama. And we lived about a half a mile from now on his other farm. So that we went over there to see if there's a fox or anything come around by those persimmon trees. They'd come there in the fall of the year, a cat or something, you see, and cat is too old dogs. We got over there and they struck, and boy, I'm not kidding you, we was having a fine fox race. We jumped the fox right quick, and you know what those two old dogs done? Picked up that fox track and run into that tree for us. We rushed up there and it's the same tree for the old puppies treated. 11 o'clock that day now. That ain't no kidding. I couldn't believe it as much as I've hunted that a dog would do that, but they sure did do that.
Yeah.
Well, we were disappointed. We thought sure we were going to have a fine fox race, you know.
Mm.
And you asked me that. That question made me think about it. I probably never would have thought to tell about that.
Well,
Well, you had right smart experience training yourself, haven't you?
Oh my goodness! I looked after my brother's dog, and I went no higher than that, and fed him. Nobody else would look after me. He was off going to school or teaching school.
Yeah.
He was about 10 years old now, boy. Nobody else would look after his dog for him but me. And I was a little boy. I liked him.
Yeah.
So that we hunted a great deal.
Well, think you know as much as work?
What's that?
Think you know as much as work?
I guess he worked about as much as I do. I think he's hunted and trained dogs all his life, too. Work's a good trainer.
Yeah.
But we probably didn't use the same system in training. I find that to take your puppies out and let your old dogs run two or three races, and when your puppies are 5 or 6 months old, 4 or 5 months old, not put them out there too hard to work to start with. Don't let them run rabbits. Was better. And walk around after the old dogs got kind of tired and got the fox run down and he had dodged. The little old puppies, they'd soon be back around and pick them up again. After a while, it'll be running. And after they learn to run and follow the old dog, kind of keep up and follow them, after the puppies get up pretty good size, then I'd turn one puppy loose for the old dogs to strike.
Oh.
And that may, then next time I'd turn another puppy loose, wouldn't turn that same one. And after I turn loose, time to, and they learn how to follow the old dogs and stay with them, I just turn them all loose when they got in the woods. And,
oh, really?
And when I lost the dog, I still had plenty of strike dogs. My puppies usually, when I was at myself, was perfect strike dogs at 12 months old.
Yeah.
But that's the way you do that.
At 12 months old?
12 months old, you turn them loose and they wouldn't bark after nothing but a fox or cat. Sweetie,
how
do
you know so much?
Huh?
So dogs.
Experience. You start that high and you learn better and faster when you're growing up and you do. After you get grown, Lord, you are, it's a whole lot harder if you learn this. Then it would have been if you had learned it when I did.
I thought those dogs was the most experienced. I didn't think you had trained that much.
Oh, you've got the easiest way to train them away. I don't tell everybody these things. I let, because people don't believe you if you tell them, you know. They experience. You take, you learn by watching your dogs, and you get good-blooded dogs has a lot to do with it. Bred in them.
Yeah,
and the ancestors are good.
Well, those fellows
that has a lot to do with
a lot of those dogs you've had, the fellows have had, and they haven't been able to do the thing with. A lot of them you told me wouldn't even run, and when you get them, they run.
Well, I tell you, they so many people whip their dogs and got them afraid of them. So many that kick them around.
Oh, really?
And they didn't want to tell them what to do. A dog's got more. I found out several years ago that a dog knew could smell much better than I could and knew more how to run a fox than I did. And I quit telling mine and I had better dogs.
Yeah.
Trying to tell them.
Who was it like to tell them? Mr. Carter out there. No, Mr.
Ed Rush?
Yeah. He liked to tell them what to do.
Oh, yeah, he'd tell them and he'd stop them if they didn't jump right quick and load them up and go somewhere else and hunt for a track. I didn't do that. I'd go over here and go in and scrub with my dog, turn loose and just scrub at 5 miles. And now, as far as you'd hear one of them strike, then the rest of them listen, keep listening for the other. And if he struck, the rest of them go to him. They didn't just hunt right in a bunch. They'd scatter out after they'd hunted in a place of time or two.
Mr. Weaver, let me tell you, we interrupting what you are doing. What is that you were saying about these dogs getting some fat on flabber?
Yeah. You take milk or just from a cow as twice as much as this that you buy out of the store.
Yes.
See, it's been skimmed.
Yeah.
They take all the fat out to butter out. Well, you haven't got nothing but water.
Yeah.
About all you got. You see, they've got this. Mr. Holder has. They've got 3 milk cows, and they're picking up calves and starting them to eat and buying them and selling them. And they got more milk than they got calves.
Right now.
Right now, you see, this calves scarce at this. getting scarce, you know.
Yeah.
And they can't find any hardly. And so he saves his milk. You see all these jugs, you know. He saves his milk for me and brings it here, you see. And I take it out there and put a little dog feed with it and put it in there and give it to these dogs. Well, now, if I had calves or hogs, I could feed it to them. But I don't have it, you see, and he's an old hunter, and he knows how it helps a fella, you know, for someone to do that. And if he wants to go hunting, see, he can come go hunting with me, and he helps
the animal. Well, now, does he bring you the milk or the clabber?
He brings me the milk, maybe poured out that day, you see. But he sets it in the back of in his truck, but it's clean.
Yeah.
I sterilize these jugs when I empty them.
Yeah.
And then he sterilizes them before he puts the milk in there. But hauling in the truck, they get dirty and they don't look good.
Yeah.
Well, I got to wash these jugs off. It don't get on the inside.
Yeah.
But, he had no way of bringing it. Only just setting it back in there before he's got hay and rides those calves. And that dust blows up on the jug, you see.
So he brings you some every now and then?
Well, about once and twice a week as he passes. When he goes down south to pick up some calves, when they call him up, they got him some calves, you know.
Yeah.
You see, when the cows, but they sell them so fast, people come down to buy these calves from them, they sell them so fast until sometimes he got more milk than he uses.
Yeah.
And he'll say, well, it'll be that this week, and now the latter part of the week he'll be by here, and he'll bring me maybe 8 or 10 gallons of that milk. Some of it'll be clabbered, soured in, some of it'll be fresh.
And they love it?
Well, my, yeah, they ain't nothing in the matter for them.
Yeah.
And I give them a gallon of it every time I feed them with the 2 gallons. That's the reason they look like they do, and don't cost them much to feed them. See, him helping me, you know. Well, now, if he wants a puppy and I have any puppies, he can come here and pick them up.
Well?
And I told him, I said, Mr. Holt, now, if you want to take any of these dogs and raise some puppies, I says, you just come on here and get them. Take them out.
Where's his headquarters, Mr. Reuben?
I can't tell you. He's up here. I know about where he is. He's up on the river, back up the other side, between Lake Butler or somewhere.
Oh, back up there.
Yeah. That's where he is. His brother and his daddy has a lot of land up there, and they got him to work for them. Mr. Holder got hurt, like he got killed up here at not Atlantic, but Gainesville Ice Plant. He got his arm broke 3 times, just ground up in, and he was getting a pension, and they cut it off. Somebody, I don't know how they done it, they reported him somewhere or another. He worked a little bit, and they cut his pension off. And he had to go to work about 2 or 3 years ago, and he was in bad shape then. And Sunday, he said that he couldn't eat anything. Then that way about 3 days, and everything he was going on through. Well, I've just had a spell of that, and it took me almost 2 weeks to get my stomach stopped where I could keep anything in it. Water didn't stay in me long.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it's that flu. Of course, my stomach's bad anyway, but
Rick, we don't want to just talk to death here.
Yeah.
Mr. Weaver, I hadn't seen you in so long. I'm glad to see you.
Well,
I've been missing you.
I felt like going anywhere.
I know it.
And
I've been no count, I'm so no count I don't go anywhere.
Well, I'll tell you, you have a lot of work to do there just around the house. Besides the other group work you have to do.
I don't accomplish anything over there.
Well,
I ought to just hire out, and I do better than I would over there. No. I waste more time.
Well,
if
you got paid for it. You kind of like if I was to get paid for looking after all these dogs here, you know, I'd make a little money. But you know what I've got to do.
I wish your friend had one of my calves. I've got an old cow that's got this beautiful little calf, but he couldn't pay what I could get for it.
Well, what is it? Now it may be. I'll ask him and see.
Well, you see, I can get...
You can get over $100 for that in case.
Yeah.
See, it's a thoroughbred.
Well, it's not so much that. It's just a good calf.
Oh, yeah.
And it got growth in it.
Well, it may be. Now, his brother, he hasn't got any money much himself, but his brother and his daddy has got some property.
Yeah.
I don't know how much money they got, but...
Well, I've got pretty good pasture now with all this rain.
Well,
the old cow's not hurting.
You don't sell anything now.
Well, I'd like to let that one go, because...
Well, what is the price on that one?
Well, I ought to get $125 for the little fella, you know.
Well, how old is he?
Oh, he's 2 months.
2 months old?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell him. He may be interested. See, they've got some cows up there, and he may have been one of the first stud.
Now, that's it. You see?
He's worth more than a stud bull.
Yes. You see, he on my cow, you see, he won't get his full growth. He needs to be on where he got some milk.
Well, he's got plenty of milk out of it, you see.
Well, that's where he ought to be, you see.
Well, I'll tell you what, too, if he's interested in it, and you're full butter white face, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's a pole, isn't it?
Pole. Yeah.
Well, can you get papers on it?
Oh, you don't want to fool with papers. What the hell are you using
all
the papers?
Well, they ain't worth a hill of beans except in this, for breeding purposes. Someone
else. He's not going to breed.
If you're going to raise registered stuff, you want to keep papers.
You can get papers on him, but it'd just be that much trouble.
Well, it's a lot of trouble to keep up papers on
him. Yes. I quit fooling with it long ago.
Well, you take sometimes.
The cow and the bulls, I got papers on them, but I don't register the... Little one. He could register if he wanted to, but it's a waste of time.
Unless if he had registered to help her.
What you want is a good animal.
That's right. If you're just going to put on the market and sell it up here in Gainesville, a one not registered will bring just as much as a registered will.
Oh, yes. It'll make more a lot of times.
Yeah. Maybe a better case.
Mr. Weaver, nice to see you.
Well, I'd glad to have you all.